Over a million South Sudanese refugees living along the border with Uganda are struggling for survival in one of the world's largest humanitarian crises. South Sudan, which gained independence from its northern neighbor in 2011, spiraled into civil war after President Salva Kiir fired his vice president and rival Riek Machar 2 years later. A regionally mediated peace agreement signed in 2015 failed within months, and since then over a third of the population has fled from the violence that has spread across the country. Italian Comboni missionary Father Tonino Pasolini has spent the past half century in Uganda, currently serving as media director for Arua Diocese on the border with South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He founded and runs Radio Pachis, a multilingual radio station bringing a message of peace and reconciliation, as tensions between the refugees and the local population continue to rise. Father Tonino spoke to Philippa Hitchin about what his radio station is trying to do to support all those caught up in this forgotten refugee crisis.
My name is Tonino Pasolini. I am a Comboni missionary priest. I have been in Arua Diocese in Uganda since 1966, so I arrived there 51 years ago. And presently, I am the founder and director of a radio station called Radio Pachis. That name was chosen, the Radio of Peace, because in northern Uganda, we have been in war for many, many years. And so that was the name that we decided to choose. We have been on air for 13 years. We started with one frequency at the very beginning. After 2 years, we added another frequency because of the many languages in northern Uganda. So in the first frequency, 90.9 FM, we broadcast, besides English, of course, we broadcast in Lugbara language and Kakwa language. In the second frequency, we broadcast with Madi and Alur languages. And recently, 5 years ago, we went up to Gulu to have a third frequency. There, of course, we have to speak Luo, Acholi. So we can reach out to more than 10 million people because we go also to the Congo side, the Republic of Congo, because there are Lugbara people and Alur people, and also we reach to southern Sudan. But now, the South Sudanese have come to us.
As you say, you're there in that northern Ugandan diocese, which is bearing the full brunt, isn't it, of the refugee crisis on the border with DRC and South Sudan. We hear almost nothing about it in our daily news, and yet it is a huge humanitarian crisis, isn't it?
It is, particularly since last year, 2016, in July. The exodus, the influx of South Sudanese has been 4,000 every day. They foot for 3, 4, 5 days, trying to go not on the main roads, no, that lead to Uganda, but through the bush, because they are afraid of being killed by the army, by the rebels, and because there is no law at the moment there.
So I imagine many of them do die along the way on these perilous journeys to the bush.
Yes, they die on the way, and those who arrive after at the border, they are picked by the organization of UNHCR, that they are doing a wonderful job. I have seen with my own eyes, despite the fact that for this program they do not have enough money, but they take these refugees to the camp where they are screened, they are registered, and afterward they are given a few things. They are given a jerrycan for water, a basin, a hoe, and some blankets, and some poles, and also that they can build in one way or another a shelter for the night.
And yet I've read recently that the United Nations, the programs there, have been cutting their funds. They've been cutting the food that they're able to provide to help these people survive, that people are now actually starving.
Many of them, yes, because they have not enough funds. And also, they have started now buying the food locally. And that creates also a problem between the nationals and the refugees. Because, I mean, the number of the refugees equals almost the number of the nationals. So, if in 12 months you receive such a huge population, although you are generous because they have given their lands, really, because they understood the plight of these people, but also, I mean, the great amount of population creates difficulties. Sometimes there are tensions between the nationals and the refugees.
You're talking about close to a million people who
yes.
come in, aren't you?
By now, yes, I left 3 weeks ago, Uganda, and by now they are even more than 1 million. All the settlements, the last one was in Vepi, that grew to 120,000 in 1 month and a half. Now this is already full. So they have started another one at Omugo site. And on the 12th of July, I was told, and I received news because I am in contact with Radio Apaches journalists in Arua. And so they told me that on the 12th of July, they have opened this new area for refugees.
How are all these people going to survive? Because there's also a looming drought and food crisis across that East African region, isn't there?
Yes. Luckily, in Arua area, we have rains now. We were afraid, but there, the great majority of those areas, we have enough rain. So now they can start also using the hoe, not only to dig pit latrines that they have to, but also to have a little garden. They are provided with some seeds and so on. And 86% of these refugees are women and children. 86%. So the future of these people, I mean, those young people who are in school, in primary school or secondary school, what is their future?
There is nothing being organized for them in terms of
they
education.
Started now, but when you have such a huge influx of people, it's impossible to make miracles. But all these organizations, in one way or another, are trying their level best to provide more health, to teach them to wash properly, to use water, to dig pit latrines, and also to start educating the people.
What is the church trying to do there to,
yes.
in some way, support these populations, these refugee populations, particularly, as you say, the women and the children?
Well, Caritas, for instance, of Arua Diocese, is very much involved in that. He's supported from Caritas Norway, other Caritas in Europe, and so on. But, I mean, it's also overwhelming because too many and too quick in a shorter time. Also, some missionaries for pastoral support and so on, those who were in South Sudan have left, of course, because there is nobody there practically. And they settled in Moyo or in Yumbe in order to follow up their people who are in these settlements. We, as Radio Apaches, we have started doing something that all the other organizations cannot do. We cannot provide water, we cannot provide food or shelter, but we can provide something which is very important, new hope, to help them recognize that unless each refugee becomes a peacemaker and reconciles himself or herself with the neighbors of other tribes, there is no future for South Sudan. And we go there with our team at least once a week in one of these settlements. We leave in the morning because they are far away from the radio station, and we go to 120 kilometers and we spend the day there. We have a round table with 100 people, 200 people, and we have this program that we call Community Voices. We want to hear from them their stories, their plight, what they had suffered, their dreams that have been shattered, and after, what are the situation now? What are their present difficulties? And because, unfortunately, in South Sudan now it seems that the civil war is growing between two tribes, the Dinka and the Nuer. So also these people are found in the settlements, no? That they have to learn to reconcile, and we have a great voice. And also, secondly, we can help the Ugandans to understand. We are the most listened to radio station in the northern Uganda. And so we know many, many are listening to us. And they understand. And that's why they are also ready to welcome the refugees, give the lands, and help them to survive. They welcome them also in their schools or in their health centers, because they are not confined in the settlement. They can move, which is a very, very good policy. This is also because of the Uganda government.
This is a vital voice of peace, of reconciliation. And yet externally, from the outside, the situation is incredibly bleak. The peace deal from 2015 broke down. Mm-hmm. There seems to be no chance of peace on the horizon throughout that region. What long-term prospects are there for some kind of settlement, for any future outside of the camps for these refugees?
I remember in November I went to one of the settlement called Bidi Bidi. People, everybody says that is the largest settlement in the world for refugees. And I met one man, rather old, very well educated. His English was much better than mine. And we were talking and say, so what is going to be the future? He had no idea. He said, this is terrible. Because we used to have refugees from South Sudan 20, 22 years ago. And finally, they were able, after 7 years, to go back.
When independence came to the country.
Yes. But now, he said, now is much worse. It seemed that there is no way. It's like a tunnel without light, and you cannot see even the end of the tunnel. So that's very difficult. I don't know what the international community can do, but it seems so far, at least, there is nothing ahead.
Why is there such little interest when clearly the refugees who can will be trying to get across into Europe? Why are people not joining the dots to see the essential importance of resolving these political crises there?
My personal view, I don't know, I might be wrong, but it is because Europe, Italy, or other countries in Europe have no economic interest in Uganda or South Sudan. So why to care for those people? Now, in those 2 weeks that I am here in Italy, it's so painful to me to hear every day about the migrant, know that they are arriving and so on and so on, and they are, as a number, they are very, very few in comparison with this amount. Now, so this is a tremendous issue, and what is worse, that nobody talks about that.
Pope Francis has spoken out about the refugee crisis in general and particularly about South Sudan. We know that he and the Archbishop of Canterbury want to come on a joint peace mission.
Yeah.
What hopes are there that there will be any guarantee of security, that this may become a reality?
It seems that people went to Juba, but they found that presently there is no way, that there is no possibility of minimum security. So that's why this trip is postponed. The only way, if I could talk tomorrow with him, because once I met him before he came to Uganda, no, and I invited him, but the only way would be to come to visit the refugees in northern Uganda. That would already make the news in the world and so on. A month ago, the new General Secretary of the United Nations came to Arua, came to see the Bidi Bidi and Imvepi settlements. And for a few days, 2-3 days, a few other media, international media, talked about that. But afterwards, it was zero.
So it would be very important for these two religious leaders to come and to
Absolutely.
Bring their message of peace to the region.
Yeah, in Uganda, presently there is no war. So security would be there absolutely. He would meet, I mean, at least there are 1 million people and more. So there is a possibility that people could hear his voice, and he also, through his presence with the Archbishop of Canterbury, talk about this issue so that the international community would do something. Otherwise, I don't know, nobody would be able within South Sudan at this moment develop a reconciliation and peace among these two people.
Finally, in this situation, which is so bleak and so difficult to see a future, as you're saying, how do you keep hope alive day by day in such a desperate situation?
Really, it's not easy. The only hope is that to see through us, you know, through the Ugandans, the care, the welcoming. At least they see something. They are not rejected. They are not discriminated against, no? So that is already something. And I am sure some even might think that in the future they might settle there if there is no other way of going back. But of course, their dream, it is for everybody, every people in the world, they want to go back in their own land. So we have to pray, and it's only through the grace of God that they can really keep some hope against the present situation.